Now I want you to turn with me today into the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12. I believe that there is contained within the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke as much on the philosophy of life as is lived out in our day as we would find in any particular passage or portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 12. I am going to begin reading at verse 13 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Eternal Father, we thank Thee again that in these moments Thou hast smiled with favor upon us, providing us with the opportunity to study Thy Word and fellowship together. We thank Thee that Thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, but in Thy love and mercy Thou hast removed our sins from us and separated us from them as far as the east is from the west. We ask today, which we believe to be a day of opportunity, a day of moment, a day when men's hearts are searching for an anchor, may this be the day that they find it, turning away from the philosophy of secularism and materialism to the only true and living way and the hope of the world, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, for those who are not saved, may they trust Him. For those who are in search of a church home, may they come to identify themselves with Worth Baptist today. And whatever the needs are, we commend every person here to Thee and ask that Thy blessed will might be accomplished, that Thy wonderful name might be glorified, Thy Son might be exalted, and every heart and life might be blessed. Make us uncomfortable in our sins and carelessnesses, and help us to rest in the finished work of Christ. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think the whole thing centers about verse 22. Verse 23. The life is more than what you eat, and your body is more than what you wear. Now, if I wanted to know something about baseball or football, two of the outstanding games of the American sports scene, then I would go to what is called the greats of these sports and sit down and talk with them and find out about the rules and regulations and requirements that govern those games. Beloved, I want to know something about the game that we call life. And so I go to him who is the source of life. And in the few words that I've read you this morning, Jesus Christ will tell you more about how to live than all of the psychology books that have ever been written. For Jesus gets down to the brass tacks of the thing to point out one basic truth. It is not the here and now that counts most, but the hereafter. It's not the material, but the spiritual. It's not what we gather, but what we disperse that really counts in life. As in baseball or football, some win and some lose. Ask the Cowboys about it after Friday night. And so it is in the game of life. Some win and some lose. My subject today is simply losing in the game of life. First off, we lose in the game of life when we adopt the wrong philosophy. Second, we lose in the game of life when we accent the wrong purpose. And third, we lose in the game of life when we accelerate the wrong priority. We lose in this game called life when we adopt the wrong philosophy for life. My text provides a word picture of a man who adopted the wrong philosophy. And he has become a sad, sad spectacle to all the religious world. Now make no mistake about it, he did some things that we must admire. We might even say in the game he knocked a few home runs, scored a few touchdowns. He was, after all, very energetic. That's to be commended. He was very industrious, and we like to see men and women of industry. And he was very ambitious, energetic, industrious, ambitious. But the tragedy of it all is this: he misguided his ambition. He misdirected his industriousness, and he misused his energy. He's like so many people today. It's everything for self. Did you hear about the man who prayed, "Lord, bless me, my four, and no more"? The man in my text had a plenty. He talked about his barns being full. He was rich. Wouldn't it have been wonderful if he had set aside something for God? I suppose he felt himself too rich to part with the tithe. You know, there are two people in the world who do not tithe. One, people that don't make enough. And two, people that make too much. I heard about a preacher one time who went to see one of his families. This is something I've never done. Not going to say I'm not going to ever do it. But he knew that this man was quite well to do. And he knew that there was a time when he made $40 a week he gave God for every week. And then he made $100 a week and he gave God 10 every week. Then he made 200 and he gave God 20. He made 300 and he gave God 30. But then he got to making so much money that he couldn't afford to give God his part. So his pastor went to see him and said, "Now, brother, as your pastor, this is my pastoral duty." And you know, this is one place where I feel like I fell down as a pastor. I really missed the mark here. If I'd go to all my people that are not tithing, it'd take me all week, of course, to get around to them. But then he said, "The records prove that you are not giving like you used to." Oh, he said, "Pastor, let me explain. I'm just really making so much money I can't afford to tithe." The pastor said, "Well, I think we can handle that." So let's just get down on our knees. And they got on their knees together. And the pastor prayed, "Now, Lord, this man's making too much money to tithe. Cut down his income so he can start tithing again." Isn't it a shame that this man didn't lay aside something for God out of all of his barns and all of his riches and all of his gold and silver? He had the wrong philosophy in life. A lady said to me this week, who's a member of our church, she said, "Preacher, a man comes into the place of business where I work and I know he's wealthy, but he's so tight he squeaks when he walks. She said, you wouldn't believe it, preacher, but he and his wife get one cup of coffee and drink together. That's how tight they are. I started looking around to see if it's somebody I knew. And she said, preacher, I said to him, are you a Christian? Are you saved? And this is not the first time she had met him on and on, week after week and month after month. She was acquainted with him. And she said, preacher, he just looked me right in the eye and said, wait just a minute. There are but two things that count in this world. Me and my dollar. And she said, preacher, what do you call a man like that? I said, well, I'll tell you what God called him. God said he was a fool. She said, well, I hadn't thought about it that way. Oh, beloved, a man that's got the wrong philosophy in life is a fool. And this man in the text is like so many today that have adopted the wrong philosophy to guide them through life. Why do I say that this man adopted the wrong philosophy? I submit three reasons why. Number one, he created for himself a world that was big enough only for him. Two, he ignored the truth of the uncertainty of life. And three, he failed to acknowledge God in his plans. Now, the world that he created for himself was a very small world. It had four boundaries. All of them were the same. On the north, self. On the south, self. On the east, self. On the west, self. Someone has rightly said, the man who is wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package. I believe you could mail him for less than 6 cents. The man who chooses the wrong philosophy, he ignored, I said, the truth that life is the most uncertain thing we know anything about. Remember that in that little world that he had, he talked about my goods and my barns and my grain and my soul as though it were his. And ignoring the uncertainty of life, he said, I'm going to have many years to live. The wise Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He said, many years. God said, this night thy soul shall be required. It sort of reminds me of a man in the Old Testament by the name of Belshazzar. You know the story in Daniel 5, how that he called all of his lords and their wives and all of their concubines together to eat and in his grandfather's palace. Oh, that was quite a palace. Would you believe that peacocks pulled the silver trays along the table in Belshazzar's feast in Daniel 5? And while they were eating and drinking, and the peacock strode by, the Bible says that there appeared over against the candlestick a man's hand on the wall. And Daniel says that Belshazzar turned as white as a ghost. In our terminology, that's what he meant. His countenance fell. That meant all the blood went out of his head and he turned white in the face. And his knees did smite one against the other. Because the hand wrote on the wall something that he couldn't understand. You see, he planned to live a long time. He planned to bring his kingdom above the height that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had brought it. So he called all the wise men and the astrologers of Babylon and said, interpret to me the writing. And they couldn't. And his wife said, O king, don't fret yourself. There is a man in this kingdom in whom there is the Spirit of God. He'll tell you what it means. So they brought Daniel in. And there was written upon the wall, Tikal, Mene Tikal Upharsin. And Daniel said, it means this. Your kingdom is divided. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom will be given to the Medes and Persians. And verse 30 of Daniel 9 says, in that night, Belshazzar was slain. You and I best not ignore the truth of the uncertainty of life and the surety of death. For it is appointed unto me and once to die, and after this, the judgment. This man who adopted the wrong philosophy failed to acknowledge God. Well, I suppose he really didn't need God, did he? I mean, after all, his barns were full, and he had all, his bank account was big, he had everything that he needed. He went out on the playing field of life and left God in the dugout because he didn't feel like he needed God. There's many a person today, some of them have their names on the roll of Worth Baptist Church. I don't know why they don't have enough grit and grace and, if you pardon the expression, guts to take their name off, because they don't need the church. They don't need God. They don't need the pastor. They don't need the book. Because they've got money and cars and homes, they don't need anything else. But you wait till the little baby gets sick and they'll need the preacher. You wait till hard times come, they'll need the church. You wait till the boy goes off to war, they'll need the preacher then. You see what I mean? They don't need him now. They're leaving God in the dugout while they're playing out there on the field of life with a wrong philosophy in life. And God called this man a fool. And there's no fool like a self-made fool. And any man is a fool who takes care of his body and neglects his soul. Any man is a fool that prepares for time and does nothing about eternity. Any man is a fool in God's thinking who remembers the gift but forgets the giver. To adopt the wrong philosophy in life is to lose out in the game of life. We lose in the game of life when we accent the wrong purpose. Jesus said in verse 23, life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Now, some people have never decided whether they eat to live or live to eat. Everything else is fine as long as their stomachs are full. Doesn't matter what kind of condition the world is in, the home is in, the church is in, the family is in, anything else, as long as their stomach is full, they are happy. Paul says, whose God is their belly and whose end is destruction. And on the other hand, there are many with whom nothing matters except the clothes on their back. Their wardrobe means more than church and family and home and anything else, just as long as they have the fine clothes on their back. The But you know, people who live to fill up and dress up don't have much to live for. They've missed the whole purpose in life. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And after all, one of these days, the undertaker's going to dress you up in the best thing you've got. And people are going to come by and say, well, he sure looks natural. And that old body that's worth about 98% in, or 98 cents in chemical compound is going to be laid out yonder 6 feet under. Deteriorate, rot, go back to the Mother Earth. Then, what's going to matter? You see, we're living in a secular and a materialistic world. Everything is governed by the dollar mark. Then whose shall these things be? Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And who shall these things be that thou hast provided? Jesus said, don't be concerned about the body as much as you're concerned about the soul. Now, Jesus didn't mean nor imply nor even infer that you ought not to have money to feed your children and have a job and work and take care of your home. He didn't mean that. What he did mean was this: don't major on that and minor on the most important thing. You see? Don't be guilty of taking care of all the material and leaving out the spiritual. God says a man is a fool who is rich in material things but poor in spiritual things. You know, there are a lot of people today who can't go to church because of their business. I hear it almost every week. And their job. And this and that and the other that they're engaged in. But you know, mister, about 3 days after they bury you, somebody else is going to open up your shop. Somebody else is going to drive your car and count your money. Then who shall these things be? You see, when we accept the wrong purpose in life, we make a mistake. We lose out. For our purpose in life is not getting, but giving. Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. If we get this thing in the right order, we won't have to worry about these other things. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Jesus said, he that saveth his own life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Our purpose in life is to glorify God. Paul writes, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Our purpose in life is to make this a better world in which to live. Look around you this morning. There's so many people that need your help. Don't stop with your friends and family and neighbors. Jesus said, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. Others, Lord, yes, others. May this my motto be, help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. Ultimately, our purpose is to prepare to meet God and to help everybody else we can find the way. When a man loses sight of this, he accents the wrong purpose in life. And when he accents the wrong purpose in life, he loses in the game of life. We lose in the game of life when we accelerate the wrong priority. There are many parts and many patterns and many peculiarities in life, but only one priority. Jesus stated it in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, food, clothing, shelter, and so forth and so on, shall be added unto you. Someone asked, but preacher, just what does it mean? I've heard it all my life. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? I submit to you that it means three things. Number one, it means to put God at the top of your list. Your shopping list, your banking list, your checking list, your social list, your business list, your political list, your working list, your list for life. Second, it means to relate the whole pattern of your life to God. You know, there are a lot of good Christian businessmen on Sunday, but it's a different story on Monday. Now, I don't believe that a man is a good Christian businessman on Sunday unless he can be a good Christian businessman on Monday. I don't believe you can be a good teacher on Sunday unless you're a good teacher on Monday. I don't believe you can be a good salesman on Sunday, a good Christian salesman on Sunday, unless you're a good Christian salesman on Monday. A lot of people think that they can segment their lives, and here is my church life and here's my social life, and the two shall never meet. You're wrong. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever it is, glorify him. Your life and your relationship to Christ must be interwoven in every phase and facet of your existence, or else you're accelerating the wrong priority in life. It means, in the third place, honor God as King, and he will give you the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the proper priority. I don't believe you can seek God first in your life and ignore your church all week long except on Sunday morning. Getting awful quiet in here now. I think all the air conditioners are running. Did you hear what I said? Let me repeat it. I don't believe that you can put God first in your life and ignore the church, except on Sunday morning, or except when you feel like coming to church, or you feel like serving God. Like one fellow said, well, I always give when I feel like it. Trouble is, he never felt like it. I always go when I feel like it, but he never felt like it. He's got the wrong priority in life. I don't know much about weaving, but I know this. If you get the wrong thread in the first spot, you're going to mess up the pattern. Beloved, if you put anything else before God in the weaving of the pattern of your life, if anything else is first, you're going to mess up the pattern of your life. And you know, to put anything else before God accelerates the wrong priority. And to accelerate the wrong priority means to lose in the game of life. Remember this. The baseball team that loses out for the pennant in the regular season play never makes it to the World Series. For you to adopt the wrong philosophy means to lose. For you to accent the wrong purpose means to lose. For you to accelerate the wrong priority means to lose in the game of life. Let us bow. And in a moment, we're going to pray. In a moment, we're going to sing a stanza or two of an invitation number. But wait. I want to ask you a question. Are you listening? Are you losing in the game of life? Are you playing on a losing team? You don't have to lose in the game of life because Jesus has already won. He stepped up to the plate called Calvary and knocked a home run. You can win with Jesus. Why not volunteer for his team today? If you do, you'll make it to the Heavenly Hall of Fame. You know, you can join up right now. You can join up today. You don't have to go to the training camp. Just like you are, you can come. He'll dress you up in a uniform of righteousness, make you a permanent member of his team. Well, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. If you haven't believed, you're already losing. If indeed you have believed, and you are a Christian, and perhaps a member of this church or some other church, but you are adopting the wrong philosophy, accenting the wrong purpose, accelerating the wrong priority, you're on the losing side. And don't say, the preacher didn't tell you. You don't have to lose. You can win in the game of life through Jesus Christ, who is the source of life.